Well, I'm looking forward to our time together in God's Word this morning as we draw a conclusion to this series on being an overcomer. We've been learning 8 ways to live a life of unstoppable strength, unmovable faith, and unbelievable power. We've kind of journeyed through Ephesians chapter 6 and the pieces of the armor of God that we have been challenged to put on. And today we conclude that. May take today and next week. We'll see how today goes. But as we talk about overcoming everything with prayer, overcoming everything with prayer. And as we come to the conclusion of Ephesians 6, that's really the emphasis that Paul lays on this component of our walk with the Lord, and that is prayer. And we're going to learn this week and next the power of prayer that we have available to us. I heard the story about a mom who got a call from school. Her daughter was there, but she was feeling ill, and she was asked to come and to pick her up. And so the mom went to the school and picked up her daughter, and sure enough, she was not feeling well and was showing symptoms of really struggling, maybe with an infection or something. So she called the doctor and said, "Could I get my daughter right in? She's really not feeling well." And the doctor said, "I'm so sorry. I'm booked up. Couldn't be till tomorrow. I recommend you taking her home, getting her some rest, and then I'm going to recommend this over-the-counter a medicine that I think would help." And so the mom was grateful for that, had the appointment for the next day, so took the daughter home and got her settled into bed and then said, "Honey, I'm not going to be gone long, but I'm going to go to the pharmacy and I'm going to get that over-the-counter medicine the doctor recommended. I'm going to get it back to you as soon as I can so we can get you feeling better." The daughter said, "Okay." And so the mom left her daughter and she went there to the store and picked up the over-the-counter medicine that the doctor had prescribed and then went back to her car. And, you know, her mind is thinking of her daughter and not feeling well and wanting to be with her and kind of in a hurry and so on. And she got back to her car and she realized she left her keys in the car and she locked the car. She was locked out of her car. She was trying to get to her daughter who was home alone and sick. She had this medicine. So she called her daughter and she said, "Honey, I'm so sorry. It's taking longer than I thought. I locked my keys in my car and I'm going to try to figure this out and get home as soon as I can." And her daughter said, "Well, Mommy, I know what you're supposed to do. I've seen it on TV. You get a coat hanger and you stick it in there by the window and you can pull the handle and you can get in the car on your own." And she said, "Well, I'll do the best I can." So she went into the store and she asked around. Sure enough, she got a coat hanger and she went out there and she kind of got it all ready and she put it in there and she was trying and trying and trying and nothing was working and she was so frustrated. And finally, she just stopped and she prayed. And she said, "Lord, I've got a daughter who's homesick. I've got medicine I need to get to her. My keys are in my car. My doors are locked. I'm trying to get it open. Would you please send someone to help me?" Well, as soon as she finished that prayer, she looked up and a gentleman was getting out of a car and heading into the store. Now, he was a rough-looking gentleman, had not shaved or maybe kept up like he should. She even thought maybe he was homeless, but she needed help. And so she said, "Sir, can you help me?" And he said, "Well, what's the problem?" He told her, she told him about, "Locked the keys in the car and my daughter's homesick and I got the medicine I got to get there." And he said, "All right, well, let me have your coat hanger." Well, he took that coat hanger and he bent it just right and he put it in there and he had that door open like in a couple of seconds. And she was like, "Wow, you are such a great guy. Thank you so much." And without even thinking about it, just wrapped her arms around him, gave him a big hug, you know, and I get to go home to my daughter. And he said, "Ma'am, I'm not a good guy. I just got out of prison this morning." And he walked off and she looked up at the Lord and she said, "Lord, that is so awesome. I prayed and needed help and you sent me a professional." And anyway, prayer is an amazing thing. And it moves the heart and hand of the Lord in many, many, many ways. And we're going to talk this week and next week about the fact that we can overcome everything through prayer. Now, sometimes God answers prayer in unexpected ways, as that humorous story will illustrate. But many times God just delights in answering. And he just delights in showing us who he is and the power that he has through the prayers that he gives to the prayer or to the answers that he gives to the prayers that we give to him. And we're going to learn as we conclude this series that truly prayer is the key to being an overcomer. We've been talking for weeks about living the life of an overcomer. Lots of challenges and trials and troubles in life. But how do we get above that and live on victory lane? And really the key, the catalyst, the cornerstone is indeed prayer. And prayer is always an area we can improve upon. Every one of us could do better in our prayer life. Not a one of us, I don't think, would stand up this morning and testify to the rest of the class, I have arrived in my prayer life, and here's how I've done it. I don't think any of us feel that way. Now, we're not going to spend time beating each other up on what we should be doing, but rather I do want us to look at what we can do by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ through prayer. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, let's look at that and we'll launch from there. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, Paul has been warning us, you are in an ongoing battle. So stand, we learned in week one. Put on the armor of God, we've been studying week by week. And Paul, as he has reminded us, that we have an enemy, Satan, who's walking about seeking whom he may devour, that we're living in enemy territory, that there's a target on our back, and that we need to armor ourselves for this life, is now reminding us at the conclusion of this passage that prayer is our line of communication. It's that secret lifeline that keeps us in contact with our leader, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he gives direction and strength for each and every day. Prayer is a vital component. And it's interesting, as we went through Ephesians 6, whether it was the helmet or the breastplate of righteousness or the feet shod or preparation of gospel of peace, each of those pieces of armor were described in just a matter of words, sometimes four words, sometimes eight. But a very brief description was given for those words. But it's interesting that 24 words are dedicated to prayer. That after we have suited up, that we recognize we are in spiritual warfare, that we are living behind enemy lines, Paul spends 24 words under the inspiration of the Spirit of God in Ephesians 6 to call our attention to the importance of prayer. And if we have any doubts about the importance of this and the life and ministry of our Lord, look at this quote by S.D. Gordon. Prayer was not only his regular habit, but his resort in every emergency. However slight or serious, when perplexed, he prayed. When hard-pressed by work, he prayed. When hungry for fellowship, he found it in prayer. He chose his associates and received his messages upon his knees. If tempted, he prayed. If criticized, he prayed. If fatigued in body or wearied in spirit, he had recourse to his one unfailing habit of prayer. Prayer brought him unmeasured power at the beginning and kept a flow unbroken and undiminished. There were no emergency, no difficulty, no necessity, no temptation that would not yield to prayer. This is what prayer meant to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a vital part of his life. Now listen, if the living Son of God who walked among us prayed, how much more important it is that you and I pray. And that's the message that Paul is driving here. We must be a person of prayer. And I'm thankful that Jesus provided that example, but I'm thankful for the fact that Jesus prays for us even now. Notice what the Bible says in Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, we're thankful for the fact that Jesus is risen again from the dead, but the Bible says that he right now is at the right hand of God, and he is praying for us. The Lord Jesus Christ is praying for you and is praying for me. And so, he prayed in his ministry. He's praying for us now. And you and I must value, we must prioritize prayer in our life. And I want us to take Ephesians 6:18 and divide it into seven segments about this importance of prayer. Number one, let's look at the persistence of the overcomer's prayer. The persistence of the overcomer's prayer. We read in Ephesians 6:18, praying always. Paul challenged you and I, pray always. And again, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul said, pray without ceasing. Pray always. Pray without ceasing. Jesus said it this way in Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So pray always. Pray without ceasing. We ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that we just, you know, walk around like zombies all day and utter prayers and never do anything else? No. But it means that we live in constant contact with God. Kind of like a soldier on the battlefield, you are engaged in war, but you're always in contact with your commander. And as you and I live life, as we go about our daily routines, we should live so constantly connected to our Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants us to always be in a season of prayer. Now, one of the ways when you think about praying always is to look for triggers to pray. When things happen in your life as you go throughout your day, you want to remember to pray. It's like the one gentleman who created some habits in the morning. When he would brush his teeth, that was his reminder to pray, Lord, help me to say things that are wise today. When he would wash his face, he would say, Lord, help me to have a cheerful countenance today. And there were just some things in his normal routines that reminded him, pray for this specifically. I want to live and look and speak in a certain way that is a blessing and pleasing to the Lord. How many of you use your smartphone for reminders? How many of you do that? I do that, man. I've got so many reminders in my phone. I got reminders to look at reminders, you know. I got reminders all over that thing. And I got buzzes and beepers and stuff going off to me, remind me, do this and do that, you know. And I appreciate reminders. It helps me to remember things. I have to write things down to make sure I live by a list. But I enjoy some of the modern technology of the ease of a reminder. You know, you could set a prayer reminder. It might be at a certain time that you want to pray. It might be periodically for a certain person you want to pray for. It might be a particular need that's heavy upon your heart. There are so many ways and reasons in which we can pray persistently, constantly being in a time of prayer with the Lord. But not only just throughout the day, but also a prayer that we want to pray persistently. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ taught about this. It was in his parable in Luke chapter 11 and verse 8, and it's there in your notes. The Bible says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is a friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now, you know the story. It was late at night. Usually people in Bible times traveled late at night. They didn't have air-conditioned automobiles. They lived in the desert, and it was hot in the desert. We know that. And so oftentimes people would travel at night. People would come to people's homes late at night, and they would need refreshment or food or rest or whatever the case may be. And so this particular gentleman had friends come to his home middle of the night, and they needed some food. Well, he didn't have any to give, and so he goes to his neighbor's house, and he knocks on the door, and it's late at night, and he's saying, I've got friends that need food. I have nothing to offer them. Would you please give me bread that I can serve them? And the man said, no, I'm in bed. Our family's asleep. You're bothering us. Come back later. And the man knocked again and said, I can't come back later. They're at my house right now. I need bread to serve them. And the Bible says that his neighbor got up and gave him food, not because they were neighbors, not because he wanted to do something nice, but because of the man's importunity. What does that mean? It means the man finally got up and gave this crazy guy bread because the guy would not stop knocking. He just kept knocking at the door and asking and asking and asking and asking. And the guy's family maybe has awoken at this point, and now everybody's trying to figure out what's going on at the door. And the guy's like, fine, here's the bread, get out of here. Now, the Lord says that's the kind of tenacity, the kind of persistency I want you to have when you pray. If you really want something, be persistent in it. And when we think about the overcomer's prayer, it's a persistent prayer. It's not, yeah, I prayed about that one time and I never heard from the Lord. I guess he didn't want it. Well, maybe he didn't think you wanted it. Because an overcomer is persistent in their prayer. There's an importunity there. There's a desire and a drive to be faithful to the Lord in this way. Philip Yancey wrote, if such a neighbor eventually rouses to give you what you want, how much more will God respond to your bold, persistent prayer? What, or we should pray like a salesman with his foot wedged in the door opening, like a wrestler who has an opponent in a headlock. He says, raise your voice, Jesus' stories implies. Strive on like the shameless neighbor in the middle of the night. Keep pounding on the door. What's the message? Don't quit. Don't give up. If you're going to be an overcomer, if you're going to overcome everything in prayer, pray with persistency. We've all been guilty at starting to pray for something and then fading off. And we're reminded of it maybe in a service or a class or a conversation. We're like, you know, I used to pray for that fairly regularly. I need to get back to that. The overcomer's prayer is persistent. But secondly, notice the possibilities of the overcomer's prayer. The possibilities of the overcomer's prayer. It says in Ephesians 6:18, praying with all prayer. Now, all, A-L-L, It's certainly a tiny word, but it has an expansive meaning. It means everything that can be placed into a basket. And in this case, it's talking about all kinds of prayers. No limits, no exclusions. It's every kind of prayer that you can think of. And let me give you some thoughts. Letter A, to pray on all occasions. To pray on all occasions. It might be you just woke up, you want to begin the day in prayer. It might be you're traveling to work or to school and you want to pray that the Lord would give you safety. It might be that you're beginning your workday and you want to pray for God to give you strength. It might be that you're coming home and, Lord, give me a good spirit. It might be we're praying for a meal. It might be we're praying before bedtime. It might be we're heading into an appointment or we're about to do a particular job or make a certain kind of a decision or we just have a spare moment or whatever the case may be. There's all kinds of occasions in which we can pray. We find this true in the Bible. The Bible says, pray when you're thankful. Pray when you need to confess a sin. Pray when you're sick. Pray when you're in danger. Pray when you're tempted. Pray in public. Pray in groups. Pray at events. Pray at social gatherings, weddings, parties, dinners. We see all of these occasions in the Bible where prayer happened. We should pray at all occasions. We don't want to be this, you know, holier than thou, have you prayed yet? I can't, you know, we don't want to be that kind of spirit or attitude, but we should be known for prayer. When we're going to go about something, where we're going to do something, we're going to pray first. We should pray in all occasions as much as we can. Letter B, we should pray in all places, in all places. Now, we might think of, okay, we pray before a meal. A lot of us do that. We pray in church, in class. Brother Langley led us in prayer a moment ago. That's natural. We feel comfortable with that here. Maybe when in our own life, devotional life, or taking a walk or jog or something, we'll pray. But, you know, there's many, many other times in which we can pray. The New Testament gives us a lot of examples, even in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, in which places in which we can pray. We find prayer in Bible times in solitary places. We find it on a mountain. We find it in the temple. We find it on a housetop. We find it inside the house. We find it in the church. We find it at a riverside. We find it on a ship. We find prayer in prison. We find believers being encouraged even to pray in their own closets. There was all kinds of places in which people were praying in the New Testament. What does that teach us this morning? It means you can pray anywhere. You can pray anywhere. You're in constant communication with God. You can pray at lots of occasions, and you can pray in any place. Letter C, you can pray at all times. The New Testament records prayers being offered at daylight, on the Sabbath day, when people were alone, when people were together. All night long they were praying. We find them praying both at day and night. We find them praying continually. We find them praying when they were in sickness, trouble, or when they were in a health difficulty. We find that they had times throughout the day in which they were praying. In fact, there was never a time in which prayer was not offered during the New Testament unfolding. And we're reminded this morning, we can pray at all times. We're in constant communication with the Lord Jesus Christ. And continually, we want to be in prayer. And then letter D, we want to pray for all things. Now, to make an exhaustive list of what everyone in the New Testament prayed about would be exhausting because it was a long list. It was amazing, all the things that were covered in a prayer. But just a few of them, they prayed for encouragement, they prayed for safety, they prayed for forgiveness, they prayed for food, they prayed for faith, they prayed for other people, they prayed for healing, they prayed for spiritual wisdom, they prayed for relief from suffering, they prayed for rain, they prayed for children, they prayed for health and prosperity. They prayed for spiritual strength, and on and on and on it goes. We find these believers in the New Testament were just literally praying about everything. What are we talking about here? The possibilities of prayer. Sometimes in our mind, we're too narrowly focused when we think about prayer. Prayer is intended to be all the time, everywhere, about everything to the Lord Jesus Christ, an open channel of communication. But thirdly, look at the petition of the overcomer's prayer. He said, praying with supplication. Now, the word supplication means to ask. In other words, God wants us to ask Him for our needs. Now, we come to God to worship. We come to God to express gratitude. We come to God to spend time with Him and to nurture that relationship. But God also wants to come to Him asking for our needs to be met. In fact, when the Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount taught His followers how to pray, This is his instruction in Matthew 6, verse 9, in your notes. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There's the worship and the glory attributed to the Lord. But verse 10, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he instructs on prayer, gives many things in which they were to pray for. These were needs that they had that Jesus said, be sure you pray for these specifically. Mention these needs when in a time of prayer. The Lord was encouraging this petitionary type of prayer. In fact, James, the Lord's brother, as he spoke of this, said in James chapter 4 and verse 2, you lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, but you have not because ye ask not. Oftentimes, we're guilty of not asking the Lord for the needs that we have. Ye have not because ye ask not. Now, we know that God knows everything. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, but be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. So you say, now, Gabe, hang on. So you're saying that we're supposed to pray and ask God for our needs, but then you're saying that God already knows our needs before we even ask them. So what's the point of asking? If God already knows, and I'm kind of really busy and I don't have a lot of time for prayer as it is, and God already knows everything that I have, even before I ask it, then why ask it? Cut out the middleman. God, you know my needs. Just supply them. We'll be good. Why is it in the Bible that God wants you and I to pray specifically, to ask specifically for our needs to be met when he already knows them before we do? I'm going to give you some thoughts on that. Why is it that God wants us to pray for these needs when he already knows them? I'm going to give you four answers. And I don't know what you have in your notes. You may have to write it down at the margin. First of all, we pray to maintain and deepen our connection with God. You know what everyone in this room is really in tune with this morning? Your needs. All right? Sometimes we are not in tune with worshiping God as we should. We can get away from just being in awe of God. But you know what everyone in this room lives in the reality of? Your needs. You know them. We could send a microphone around the room and nobody would hesitate in sharing with everyone a need that you have. Because we all have needs and we know what they are. And you know what God in his amazing wisdom designed? For us to talk to him about our needs. Because it's going to maintain a relationship consistently. We always have needs. We know what they are. And when we go to him, there's a maintaining, there's a deeper connection when we're talking to God about these things. Not only that, but secondly, God wants us to have what he knows we should have. You know what happens when we start talking to God about our needs? It aligns our needs with God's will. Have you ever been in prayer and been praying to God for something, and by the end of the prayer session, you no longer wanted the thing you're asking for? Because during the prayer time when you were asking for it and you thought about it in the presence of God, you thought, you know what? Never mind. I don't really want that. I don't think that that's going to work. Sometimes when we pray and talk to God about our needs, we understand sometimes we have something we've defined as a need that's not really a need. In fact, it's something we want that maybe God doesn't even want us to have. It aligns our needs with God's will. It puts in perspective, this is what I think I need, but how does that relate to what God knows I need? So this idea of bringing my needs to the Lord helps give me his perspective on my needs. E. Stanley Jones put it this way, prayer is surrender. Surrender to the will of God in cooperation with that will. If I throw out a hook from the boat and catch hold of the shore and pull, do I pull the shore to me or do I pull myself to the shore? Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but aligning my will to the will of God. And when you and I go to God in prayer with our needs, you know what it is? It's aligning our will with God's. And sometimes as we pull closer to the Lord, we see our needs differently through his perspective. But I believe thirdly that God tells us to pray for our needs so that we will acknowledge the source of all that we have. When you and I pray consistently for the needs that we have and as the Lord meets them, you know what we learn through that? That everything we have is from God. Every need supplied is a gift from the Lord. And when we're in the habit of talking to God about our needs, and then even sitting down for a dinner like last night, we're reminded, let's pause and thank God for this food, for the provision of this meal. Why? Because we're reminded that everything we have is from the Lord. Lord, thank you for the fact that we got from our home to church today without a flat tire or a broken down car. Thank you for the fact that when I went into the closet this morning, there was clothes to wear. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that I have shoes on my feet right now, and I don't have to come to church barefoot. Thank you, Lord, when we go home, we're going to have food to eat at lunch. Thank you for providing that for us. Thank you, Lord, for a roof over our head. Thank you, Lord, for tonight at 5 o'clock when we gather that we have a church to go to. Thank you, Lord, yesterday at Murray Family Farm that we had friends to enjoy a day with. If we will begin to think in terms of God's provision, it's really incredible how much God does for us and how much we have to be thankful for. And He wants us to pray so we remember where the prayers, where the resources are coming from. And then fourthly, prayer is really preparation. When you and I consistently are asking God to supply our needs, He's expanding our capacity for what He's going to give. Listen to the way Charles Spurgeon describes this. Asking is the rule of the kingdom. It is a rule that never will be altered in anybody's case. If the royal and divine Son of God cannot be exempted from the rule of asking, you and I cannot expect the rule to be relaxed in our favor. God will bless Elijah and send rain on Israel, but Elijah must pray for it. If the chosen nation is to prosper, Samuel must plead for it. If the Jews are to be delivered, Daniel must intercede. God will bless Paul, and the nation shall be converted through him, but Paul must pray. Pray he did without ceasing. His epistles show that he expected nothing except by asking for it. And friend, may you and I live a life that we don't expect anything we haven't asked for, that we're living in daily prayer with the Lord, making our needs known. If you and I are not praying boldly enough to ask for what it is that we need, then we cannot be upset with God for not working in our life like we think He should be working in our life. It begins with us, and may you and I have the petition prayer of an overcomer. Lord, I'm going to come to you with my needs because you commanded it, and I see the benefit of it in the Word of God. And so consistently, daily, I'm going to do my best to bring these things to you, to align my will with yours, to pray boldly for the needs that you have given to me so that I can see you work in and through my life. Paul is saying to you and I, listen, you are in the midst of a battle. There's armor you have to wear. There's a way you have to live if you're going to be an overcomer. But it is all for naught if you don't pray. So prayer. Taking time to pray, to enter into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and to open in prayer and to recognize we've got to be persistent in that. This has got to be something we're continually doing all throughout the day, every day. We've got to understand we can pray about lots of things. We can pray in lots of places and with lots of people. And then when it comes to the specific needs that we have, we want to be persistent in it. Daily going to the Lord. Lord, these are the things I have need of. And if they're not in need, Lord, show it to me. But if they are, would you please provide? And God promises that He will. He's not going to leave one of us undone, one need unmet. But He wants us to come to Him in prayer. And may you and I be challenged this morning. Let's be an overcomer. And let's decide to boldly go to the throne of grace and to petition for what it is that we need, and then to watch God work. And next week, we will finish overcoming everything through prayer and ask the Lord to help us to live this life of an overcomer. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for some time this morning together around your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would help all of us to tap in to this incredible resource of prayer. Lord, may we, as we strive to be an overcomer, recognize this morning we can indeed overcome everything through prayer. So Lord, would you help us this morning to determine this week, every day, I'm going to spend some time in prayer. Maybe someone I don't see in class this morning that I'm burdened for, I'm going to pray for them. That guest that I'm inviting on October the 6th, I'm going to pray for them. That situation at work, what's going on with my spouse, our burden for our child, that health news I just received, whatever the case may be in this room, may we this week determine, I'm not going that one alone, but I'm going to spend some time in communication with my Father in prayer. Lord, help us to realize this week the ability that we have to overcome everything through prayer. Bring us back safely next week as we finish this study, and we'll praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.